Please sit comfortably. So today we'll continue with Dogen's Suki, the Moon. He wrote, "An ancient Buddha said, a single mind is all dharmas. All dharmas are a single mind." And then he commented on this saying, "Since mind is the moon, the moon is the moon. Since mind, which is all things, is completely moon, the all-inclusive world is the all-inclusive moon. The entire body is the entire moon. Amid the 3-3 before and 3-3 after, in the myriad years of this moment, what is not the moon? Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha, our body, mind, and environment are also within the moon. Coming and going, birth and death are also the moon. Everyday activity at this moment is hundreds of grasses brilliant as the moon. The mind of ancestors brilliant also as the moon." This is a very beautiful thing to think and wonder about and say. Each thing, the moon, its bright side and its dark side. One moment, or one century, one nen, or one eternity, the moon. This thought, this realization, is almost incomprehensible. But that too is simply the moon. But I wonder, how do I live this? How do you live it? How do you look current events? Events filled with greed, hatred, and ignorance. How do you look at them directly in the eye and not be overwhelmed and not be struck by passivity or depression, not by anxiety or agitation? Really? Do you find it enough to say, to think, oh, that is the moon too? What happens when the true world doesn't even knock, but blows into your house announcing the intolerable, the unthinkable, the unimaginable? What is to be done when there is nothing to do? But doing nothing only adds to the suffering and to the pain. At those moments, how is everyday activity brilliant within the moon? How are the grasses of depression, despair, and trauma brilliant in the light? I ask all of this not because I have a reasonable response or helpful reply to self or to other. It seems that Dogen's moon doesn't have a back and a front. It seems that it doesn't have edges, but mine does have a dark side. It has the side of not understanding, the side of not knowing. And my not knowing does not have the confidence of Bodhidharmas. I don't know where I come from. I don't know where I'm going. And I don't know who I am. The best I can do when confronted by what is overwhelming or ununderstandable is to sit, to sit whether still or moving, and to sit in the question, in my question as I make the bed, to sit in my question as I do the dishes, and as I move at the level that I can and can't. And though this isn't necessarily helpful to simply remember, but my daily activities, brilliant in the moon, are no other than Buddha ancestors' activity, brilliant in the moon. This allows me to stop, to just simply remember brilliance, the ancestors' activities. Allows me to stop for a moment and reorient myself. To stop allows me to move from my caught up and rattled thought habits and patterned feelings to what is actually right here before me, the moon that moves the oceans, the moon that moves and lengthens and shortens our days and nights. With this stop, I recollect myself and remember with one breath, with another, and then I'm able to touch the ground, the mother of all Buddhas, the moon's mother, and know, even for Buddha ancestors' activity, brilliant in the moon, sometimes sun-faced Buddha, sometimes moon-faced Buddha, sometimes the light side of the moon, and other times the dark side. And then, if I still feel compelled or pushed or moved, and then I get up and call a friend, and then I feed the dogs, and then I put on my robe at the sound of the bell, which rings in the wind, which rings in the rain, which rings in the lone owl's last call. Everyday activity, drinking plain tea and eating coarse rice. At this moment, and at this moment, and at this, whether aware of it or not, is hundreds of grasses brilliant in the moonlight. This, the heart mind of ancestors, brilliant in the moon. And it is the moon, though sometimes it appears as half, and at other times three quarters, and at others completely hidden, so new, but once in a while as full. A monk, however, wasn't so sure about half moon, about quarter moon and the new moon. He wasn't at peace with his habituated ways of thinking and feeling. And so it came to Toshi, a teacher who we met in the last intensive. And the monk asked, "But when the moon is not full, what then?" And Toshi said, "Swallow three or four." The monk then said, "How about when it is full, what then?" And Toshi said, "Spit out seven or eight." Before looking to Dogen's comment on this short, pithy dialogue, I'd like to say something. The monk is asking a good question, and it has tones of what I was just alluding to. When I said my not knowing isn't quite as mature or integrated as Bodhidharma's not knowing. I also said Dogen's moon didn't have a back, front, or side, and mine does. So again, not as mature or integrated. And this is the monk's question. What if I have seen or experienced the full moon, but it feels only temporary, and now, if not completely forgotten, if not fully integrated, what am I to do? Or he might be saying, what if I've never touched or been touched by the moon's light? What then? What if the moon has never been full in my zazen or in my life? How do I live given that? And Toshi said, swallow three or four. Each phase of the moon, each phase of a life of practice contains all the others. Sometimes even when you look at the quarter moon, you can see the darker shape which completely fills it out. And at other times, there are three quarters, certainly is there, but you just don't see it. Just like in your beginning practice, that practice already includes or knows the mature practice, but that isn't yet a part of your own thinking or feeling. And this is true too for the full moon. It contains more obviously the quarter moon, the half moon, and the three-quarter moon. And practice too is like this, as is zazen. The more mature practice still includes your not yet mature aspects. The entire process, point by point by point, step by step by step, is holographic. Each phase contains parts of all the other phases. And so Toshi says, continue to swallow. Swallow three or four. Just keep allowing. Just continue like in Kinhin with one step and then the next and then the next. As long as you go like that, one day with really nothing more needed from you, the moon will come to full. And you don't really have to do anything more than show up. Show up with the intention to swallow whatever arises. Show up with the intention when necessary to swallow your sadness, to swallow your loneliness, to swallow your passive tendencies. Continue to show up with the intention to swallow the world's greed, hatred and ignorance, and swallow as you stay embedded in practice, in mu, in breath counting, in who hears. Stay embedded in practice or that pain, grief, and intolerableness with what will swallow you. Swallow and stay with your one and only practice. And the darker shapes will in time, in no time actually, lighten. And so then the monk asked the obvious question. After it is full, then what? Toshi said, then spit out 7 or 8. And you do spit out more than you swallowed. You spit out everything you are and never were. You spit out what is and is not. You spit out what is born and unborn. You spit out being and non-being, samsara and nirvana, enlightenment and delusion. And as Eiken Roshi said, and now your practice begins again, right there. Until this moment, you have been swallowing and personalizing. Now you spit out and personalize. Before this phase, your vow was to save all beings. And now in this full phase, your vow is to continue to save all beings. Some might be wondering, so why practice if the vow remains the same? If that is your question, it is a good one. Please swallow it and save all beings. If it isn't your question, that also is good. It means you've already swallowed it. Now spit it out and save all beings. Maybe another way to understand the monk's question and the teacher's response is this. Breathe all the way out. Pause. And now begin to inhale. And continue starting at the new moon and then moving through all its phases. Take in the quarter moon, the half moon, the three-quarter moon, now full. In that moment, your breath, your body, you are full. There isn't anything else necessary. You don't need to be more full. You're fine the way you are, complete. And now, if you watch closely, there's a pause, just like the tides, just like the sun when it reaches its furthest point to the north. There is a pause. And then naturally, with no effort or will, you exhale. You breathe out and out and out. You take it all in and then all out. The moon, your breath, is always present, always in one phase or another, always naturally moving. And then your practice begins again. Right in that place, at that point, for the very first time. New, refreshing, inevitable. Each of you moving towards full while already containing full. Each of you moving towards empty while already containing empty. And this too is truth, true with birth and death. You each, as you sit here, still contain in one way or another your birth, your childhood, your teen years, and so on. You also contain your dying, and you already contain your own death. And you naturally move through the phases to fullness, to emptiness. Each phase, like in breathing, already present, already given. In another writing, Dogen calls this givenness a gift. You and each thing, the myriad dharmas, are gifted with the moon. From another perspective, you and each thing are the moon. That perspective does not have a beginning, middle, or an end. It is just moon. Given a gift, and it is too just this, thus this, and sometimes we even call it reality, the reality of nothing to stand on, the reality of nothing to depend on, just moon. So let me read you the short dialogue with Toshi again, and then I'll read you Dogen's comment. Toshi was asked by a monk, when the moon is not yet full, what then? Toshi replied, swallow three or four. The monk next asked, after it's full, what then? Toshi said, spit out seven or eight. Dogen commented on this, saying, what is examined here is not yet full, and after it is full. Both are the moon's activity. Each of the three or four moons is a complete moon that is not yet full. Each of the seven or eight moons is a complete moon that is after it is full. To swallow is three or four. At this moment, the moon that is not yet full is actualized. To spit out is seven or eight. At this moment, after it is full, is actualized. When the moon swallows the moon, that is three or four. In swallowing, the moon is brought forth. The moon is swallowing, actualized. When the moon spits out the moon, that is seven or eight. In spitting out, the moon is brought forth. The moon is spitting out, actualized. Thus, there is total swallowing, total spitting out. The whole earth and the whole sky are spit out. The whole sky and the whole earth are swallowed. Swallow yourself and swallow others. Spit out yourself and spit out others. And see with those words that Dogen really doesn't have a back and a front to his moon. So another way to say this may be, when you are doing the dishes, do the dishes. When you are walking, walk. When you are sitting, sit. When you fully exert yourself in each activity, everything else is present. Just like the quarter moon, including the half moon, thoroughly washing, completely walking, fully sitting, includes the entire world. Each thing, one thing, nothing else set necessary in any particular moment. In our culture lately, and lately I mean the last few decades, we've become so fond of multitasking. And that way does get many things done. But in the last days of your life, how will that be to say, I got a lot of things done? Or to have your surviving children or friends or significant others say, he stayed busy and he really did a lot of stuff. To be fully engaged in each activity, to be fully involved with each person who is before you, to see the universe in a grain of sand, in a single snowflake, in the eyes of your lover is a gift to you, but also at the very same moment, a gift to me. And a gift to us. We multitask, but to what end? We go faster and faster. To where? When there is total swallowing, when there is total spitting out, whole earth and the whole sky are present. Another way to say that might be when you are fully committed to what is before, the door to intimacy opens. Intimacy isn't here or there, though it includes that. Intimacy isn't past, present, or future, though it includes them. Intimacy isn't new moon, half moon, full moon. Intimacy is the falling away of all edges and borders. The falling away of I am here and you are over there. Intimacy is a being in love. Intimacy is being in love with what is right before you. Intimacy is being in love with what is right before thought, with what is before here and there, what is before sacred and profane, before pure and impure, before full or new. It is you contained by and containing with nothing, with no one left out. This is what committed to or engaged with each single thing offers. Of course, sometimes you will have to multitask. Sometimes you may want to. In fact, for some, that is a natural and normal way to engage in the world. If you tend towards that way in the world, it is still the moon. Just don't make the moon into an explanation or excuse for your behavior. Find a way to allow your tendencies to be practice. There is no one way. There is no best way or easiest way. Each moment, each phase of the moon is an opportunity to meet yourself as no other than the one who has thus come. Each way, your way, shines with moonlight. Pay attention right now. Do you see it? If not, how come? In this very moment, it is brilliant and gleaming, and it is shining from your eyes, and from her eyes, and from its eyes. Your way in the world is never an excuse for not practicing, for not knowing the phase of the moon that you are walking in, working in, sleeping in, eating in, and loving in. We all desire and need intimacy. We all want to lessen suffering. So what is your way? What is your only way to fulfill your vow? Shakyamuni Buddha found his way. Bhattacharya found hers. Dogen, his. Asan, hers. Robert Aiken, his. And Ann Aiken, hers. All very different people, each walking the same path as you and me. So what is your truest way? Now swallow it. What is your truest way? Now spit it out and live and practice and love your way.